worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Kurt Hall, a retired pastor and member of St. John's Baraboo for a number of years already, but we spent half years in Sun City, Arizona, and then I've been doing vacancies as well along the way, so you maybe not have seen so much of me. This evening we look at the matter of faith in God's promises, and where does that come from? The Word, which will also be foremost in our singing and in our preaching this evening. So God's blessings on your worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessings on our worship today. Pastor Curtis Howlob will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the script reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, the problem with glory and God's promises. We will follow setting 2 on page 172 of the Christian Worship Hymnal. We will join the congregation in opening our service and singing from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Speak, O Lord, hymn number 633. Again, hymn number 633 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
We will join the congregation singing from the Christian Worship Hymnal, verse 938. Again, the Christian Worship Hymnal, this is a feast, hymn number 938.
Lord be with you. We pray. Lord God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits in faith, hope, and love through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. This marks the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, and our first reading is from Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. This text will also serve as our sermon for later. With his gracious visit and gracious words, the Lord gives Sarah exactly what she needs most, a strengthening of faith to believe God's promises of a child. We read, "The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he was sitting by the door to his tent during the heat of the day. Abraham looked up, and he saw three men standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed down to the ground. He said, 'My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Now, let me get a little water so that all of you may wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get some bread so that you can refresh yourselves. After that, you may go your way. That is why you have come to your servant.' They said, 'Yes, do as you have said.' Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quickly, prepare 20 quarts of fine flour, knead it, and make some loaves of bread.' Abraham ran to the herd, brought a good tender calf, and gave it to the servant. He hurried to prepare it. He took cheese curds, milk, and the calf that he had prepared, and set it before them. He stood beside them under the tree while they ate. They asked him, 'Where's Sarah, your wife?' He said, 'She's over there in the tent.' One of the men said, 'I will certainly return to you when this season comes around next year. Then Sarah, your wife, will have a son.' Sarah was listening to this from the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well into old age. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Sarah laughed and said to herself, 'After I am worn out, will I have pleasure since my Lord is also old?' The Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really give birth to a child though I am old? Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the set time next year, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son.'" The word of the Lord. We sing the Psalm 119, Section B.
We'll join the congregation in singing Psalm 119B from the Psalter, page 646. Psalm 119B, the Psalter, page 646.
Thank you.
talking. We read from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Through the gospel, Christ gives us what we need, a faith which bears fruit in our individual lives and in his wider church. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. You have already heard about this in the word of truth, the gospel that is present with you now. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing in the entire world, just as it also has been doing among you from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth. You learn this from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He is the one who told us about your love in the Spirit. For this reason, from the day we heard about your love, we also have not stopped praying for you. We keep asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you might live in a way that is worthy of the Lord. Our goal is that you please him by bearing fruit in every kind of good work and by growing in the knowledge of God, as you are being strengthened with all power because of his glorious might working in you. Then you will have complete endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. The Father rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel acclamation. One sister served Jesus, which was lovely. The other sister wanted to be served by Jesus, which is the very most important thing which is needful. The Gospel, Luke chapter 10, and this is what God's word says. As they went on their way, Jesus came into a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who was sitting at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her serving. She came over and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered and told her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needed. In fact, Mary has chosen that better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. May you be seated for the singing of our next hymn, "I Know My Faith Is Founded."
We'll join the congregation singing hymn number 797 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, "I Know My Faith Is Founded," hymn number 797.
trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this evening is the lesson from the Old Testament, Genesis 18, verses 1 to 14. Here we read just the final verse of that as we look as for a theme this evening, the problem with and glory of God's promises. And this is what this verse reads. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Dear faithful of St. John's and any visitors who may be with us this evening, the problem with promises is that you have to trust them. You have to believe that they will be fulfilled and live as if you believe that they will be fulfilled before they'll do you any good. We don't like to do that. We're cautious people. We want something to be thoroughly proven before we will believe that it is true. We want to investigate an enterprise thoroughly before we invest in it. But that doesn't really work with believing in God. There's a limit to what we can know about God. He's given us His Word. Had three sections of it tonight in reading. We've sung it in some of the words of the hymns. And we believe, trust, and venture out in our relationship with God without seeing in person the one in whom we believe and are trusting. This kind of venturing out in trust is what the Bible calls faith. Paul, the Bible writer, who probably has the most of anyone to say about faith, wrote, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access to the grace in which we stand, and we boast of our hope of sharing the glory of God. Lots of people have far too small an idea of what this means. For one thing, they confine its meaning to one carefully defined little part of their lives called religion. They keep that carefully separated from the rest of their life so it doesn't get in the way. Then they make it into a single transaction by which a person claims the forgiveness of sins and a place in heaven after death. But faith is something much more than this. It's something that has to do with a person's whole way of relating to all of life and to the God who is present and at work in all of life. God made Himself known to us through Jesus so that we can know that awesome other who is out there and on the other end of the seesaw with us. Jesus has shown us that God is someone who loves us and wants what is good for us. Paul says to the Romans, God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is what we really need to know. That awesome invisible other who gives us life and relates to us in all of life is someone who loves you and me. To venture out into life in faith, that's trusting God's love and loving God. And it's a whole way of life. It will shape what we think and feel and do and who we are every day of our lives and in all of our relationships of our lives. As if to emphasize that point, the writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews, who also has a lot to say about faith, in his 11th chapter, in so many words, says, do you really want to know what faith is? Well, then, if you do, take a look at the people of the Old Testament who were trusting an invisible God. Look at Abraham. Look at Abraham, who ventured out trusting God. Well, this evening, we're going to take a look at Abraham, or Abram, as he was first called. God renamed him Abraham. It's really the plural of Abram, because God says, you're going to be the father of a great nation. When we first meet Abram in the book of Genesis, he's living in ancient northern Mesopotamia at a place called Haran. Mesopotamia is the Greek word for in the midst of the rivers, those being the Tigris and Euphrates. This is present-day Iraq. The people living there at that time were called Sumerians. They are the oldest of the four oldest known civilizations in the entire world. And interestingly, they're credited with inventing the wheel, though we have to wonder if they would have figured that out before the flood even, how many hundreds of years, maybe a thousand years before then. But anyhow, living there some 4,000 years ago, Abraham became aware of a greater reality out there beyond the things that were shaping the lives of him and of the other people among whom he lived. Out beyond all the things that can be seen or touched, yet present in them all. And this is the great invisible other, who could not be fully known or managed. This is the one before whom one can only bow in reverent silence and listen. And Abram listened and heard that God calling him to leave behind everything he had known and to venture out into an unknown life, into an unknown land, 500 miles to the southwest that God would show him. Now that, friends, would take a great deal of faith. And God gave Abram some promises, the promise that the Lord would make of him a great nation, that this body of people who would be his would have their own area of land, and that in his descendants, the whole world would be blessed. An insinuation that, yeah, from his descendants would come the Savior of the world. And in faith, Abraham believed the promise and did what God called him to do. He ventured out in trust of that great invisible other who is God. Now, at first, the promise must have been really exciting, wouldn't you think? You know, originally named Abram, as we said, and Sarai at this point, they must have greeted every day with eagerness. They must have expected something new and exciting was going to happen around every bend in every road. And they traveled. And they traveled all the way to Canaan, 500 miles away, driving flocks and herds. It's no easy task. And then they traveled up and down the length of Canaan, living, they believed, towards the fulfillment of God's promise. But eventually, that excitement started to fade away. The one thing that would need to happen in order for the promise of God's to even start to be fulfilled had never happened. They were childless. So when the couple became too old to have children, they began to lose their ability to trust. And eventually their faith failed. In a moment of weakness, they gave up on God's intention to give them their own descendants, and they decided to take matters into their own hands. Isn't this really kind of the definition of temptation, the loss of faith that causes us to stop trusting God and try to fix things by ourselves in our own way. You know God's promises. You trust that He knows what's best for you and for you to wait on Him is the thing to do. But times are tough financially. You find a way to pick up some bucks wrongly. You really need a better grade in this class. You cheat. It's hard to wait to become intimate until marriage. You don't. Abraham and Sarah's failure was not in their decision to act decisively. It's a good thing to act decisively in response to the call of God, as they had in picking up and leaving Haran. It's quite another thing to act decisively in despair of God. And so Sarah gives her Egyptian maid Hagar to Abraham as a concubine. And she bears a son to Abraham, Ishmael. In those days among the heathen, you know, that was an acceptable thing to do morally. But not when the Lord had promised Abraham and Sarah their own son. And it also proved to have been a huge mistake not to wait on the Lord. Muslims and Jews are still paying for their ancestor parent sin to this very day. In our Genesis 18 account, faith was failing again. Could we even say cynicism had replaced expectancy by the time those three strangers stopped at the tent of Abraham and Sarah that hot summer day? One of the strangers, the Lord Himself, disguised in human form, promised that within a year, Sarah would have a baby. Sarah heard that from inside the tent, and she laughed. It must have seemed ridiculous to her. They were far too old to have children. She must have been thinking that they had been very foolish to spend their whole lives trusting the promise of an invisible God to bring fulfillment to their lives. And it must have seemed cruel for the travelers to ask, "Is anything impossible for the Lord?" Faith is not always easy. Sometimes it's hard to keep trusting. But that's what faith is all about. What little remaining faith this elderly couple still possessed, which had shown itself strong and beautifully at times past, would still be rewarded ultimately with that first step of the threefold promise of a child, a great nation with its own home. Yes, and that great blessing for all the world in a Savior from sin. Those things promised would now come to fruition. And months later only, they would hold in their arms the first installment of what God had promised. And so the second person of the Trinity takes humanity into the deity. Jesus lived an earthly perfect life, just as David had promised 1,000 years before in speaking of Him as the Holy One of God in Psalm 16. And how's this for a prophetic promise from Isaiah? "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His stripes we are healed." Precious words many of us memorized and grew up knowing, maybe in that King James Version, which is close to what I read just here now. And in Jesus' life and death and resurrection, you and I have the promise of forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. We have Jesus' own word on it, word of promise. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, we are human. Sometimes we struggle with the problems and the challenges of God's promises. But oh, the glory of God's promises, if we will only keep the faith. Amen. Please stand. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the promise the Lord makes to those who wait. So wait. Wait. Wait on the Lord. You may understand in time why you must wait, but wait. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Yes, He sees and hears your cry, but for now, you must wait on the Lord. Amen. And in that wonderful God who keeps His promises, we confess Him in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our prayer of the church. Eternal Lord, give us peace as we ponder the good news that you forgive our sins in Christ. Lead us to see clearly the path you have laid out for us. Provide courage and compassion to all who preach and teach your word. Fill them with a love like yours as they proclaim your grace to us and all people. Guard and guide the families of our congregation. Lead husbands and wives to love each other with commitment, respect, and patience. Help parents to grasp the eternal value of keeping their children close to Jesus all their lives. Grant joy to those who are single and make them a blessing to others. provide wisdom and insight to those who make laws and set policies. Give us respect for those who protect us from crime. Lead us to value the rights of our fellow citizens and to defend those who cannot defend themselves. Give us passion to share the story of your love with our family and friends. Overcome unbelief and open the hearts of people everywhere to believe the good news that Jesus has forgiven their sins and opened the gates of heaven. Extend your healing power to those who are sick and suffering in body or mind. Give patience and compassion to all who care for the sick and dying. And hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Gracious God, you govern and direct all things, and you love all people. Hear our prayers spoken and silent, and answer them in your wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The offering is collected in the vessel that receives them, the wooden vessel in the narthex. We continue with the order for the sacrament. The congregation will please rise.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Lord God, you are worthy to receive thanks and praise from all people. You created the world and all who live in it, and in your mercy you saved us. We give thanks to you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Though in very nature God, he took the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin and redeemed us from its curse and penalty. He rescued us from the terrors of death and restored eternal life with you. He conquered our enemies and gained for us the kingdom of grace and glory. Bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood, and lead us to remember his suffering, death, and resurrection. Forgive our sins and fill us with the hope of new life in heaven. Hear our praise and receive our thanks as we worship you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come,
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You can also watch the service on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 4-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are appreciated. For more information about our congregation, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer is Don Harmon. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for him who died for you. We have upcoming events at St. John's Lutheran Church and School. Our worship is every Sunday at 9 a.m., followed by our Sunday school and Bible class at 10:15 a.m. every Sunday. On Monday, the harvest meeting will be at 6:30 p.m. at school. On Thursday, worship resumes at 6:30 p.m. in person. Morning Bible class at 9:20 a.m. every Thursday. On Saturdays, it's a men's Bible study at 8 a.m. in the fellowship hall. We thank everyone that has joined us today. We thank everyone for joining us again today. As a reminder, the church picnic will be on Sunday, August 17th at 10 a.m. at St. John's Lutheran School. There will not be a 9 a.m. service. Again, worship and church picnic Sunday, August 17th at 10 a.m. at St. John's Lutheran School. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Please rise for our closing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we give you thanks, O Lord, for the fort.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Jesus is God's plan. He is for you, for us.